Healthy Habits
on Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
And that's because the chiropractor is live on the line. Joining us is Oliver Jones, chiropractor at Nightingale Clinic. Oliver, thank you for being with us this afternoon. What's keeping you busy in the clinic? Who or what is limping in right now?
Good afternoon. What is limping in right now? More of the same, really. It's much the same as the last time we talked.
So lots of non-specific lower back pain, one of the most frustrating diagnoses we can ever hear. Lots of people crunching, hunching over their laptops and not heeding our advice from last time we spoke about posture. We've had a number of injuries coming in on the text line, which is always quite an interesting one. I spoke to my physio a while ago and said the same to him. You know, what's keeping you busy? He was like, well, weirdly, you know, we'd normally see more like, you know, your rugby player injuries, your students, but because of contact sports not being on the curriculum for a while, not seeing so many of those. What we have had on the text line are ice rink injuries. So maybe people are having some fun inside instead. Now, just before we go to the text line, 4001, I wondered if you were able to quickly explain a little bit about what a chiropractor does, so anyone listening can indeed understand what we can address this afternoon.
Sure. So a chiropractor is a physician that focuses on treating and preventing musculoskeletal conditions. Most common of those, as we talked about last time, is kind of non-specific lower back pain, mid-back pain, neck pain, the pain resulting from that as well. But we do that via adjustments, manipulations, depending on which chiropractor you talk to, they call it different things. But it's all about problems with joints and getting them moving, reduce and relieve that.
But I am very selfishly going to monopolise your time for just a minute, Oliver, because I am, for my sins, climbing Kilimanjaro. I am manifesting it. I am going to summit in October. But I've got the knees of an 85-year-old woman, by all accounts. And I wondered if you've got any advice in general for anyone out there who's suffering from some knee aches and pains but doesn't necessarily want to be compressing and elevating and resting all the time. Still wants to be active.
If I was to give one particular piece of advice for knee pain, I believe that the best thing you can do to stabilize your knee is to strengthen the quadriceps muscle. So doing some cycling or using a TheraBand to strengthen the quads generally tends to help relieve quite a lot of knee pain.
That's exactly what I was hoping you were going to say. That's exactly what I'm doing. Lots of single leg, Bulgarian squats and all sorts of things like that. Okay, good. I'm happy.
Healthy Habits.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
We have got Oliver this afternoon. Oliver Jones joining us, chiropractor at Nightingale Clinic, on hand to take your questions and perhaps any concerns you might have about aches, pains, joints, muscular issues and more. And lots of you getting in touch on 4001. Oliver, I hope you've had a coffee because we've got a lot to get through. And Andy's been in touch saying, I'm only 14, but my ankle cracks every time I spin it, by which I think he means kind of rotate it. Is this a problem and why is it happening?
A lot of the time it's not a problem because most of the time it's just the muscle flicking over a bone.
So it's just audible. And actually, a similar question here saying, my daughter is 11 and all her joints make a cracking sound. Even when she squats, each time you can hear her knee joints snap. Is it something to worry about and what can you do to improve the condition? Thank you.
Again, same type of answer. And it tends to be with younger girls as well with that type of problem. It's nothing to really worry about. To improve that, most of the time it's just strengthening the muscles. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you about that age group as well. Growing pains. In your experience and through your research, what are your thoughts on growing pains? I've heard all sorts of different things because I remember having them, and we've had messages from listeners and saying my kids are being kept awake at night, you know, with sore bones, sore muscles, but the doctor saying that growing pains aren't a thing. What's your professional opinion?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
I don't think I've ever been asked that question before. I must say it's not really in my remit, to be quite honest. It's not really a specific musculoskeletal condition. It's not a problem with the joints. It's just something that happens, as far as I'm aware.
Well, look into it for me. I'd be interested because I remember vividly having growing pains. And as I said, it's quite a common thing we get messaging on the show. Now, going to the text line, 4001. We said earlier, not so many contact sports going on right now. But Leah's boyfriend's bottom made contact with the ice rink at Dubai Mall, saying he's having a hard time walking straight. The doctor just suggested painkillers. Should he sit it out and take it easy, or is there something a chiro could help with? So, bruised bum, maybe a bit of bruised ego, and maybe a bit of bruised bum bone too.
Well, I assume that he had an x-ray at the time, if he was in severe pain. On the assumption that he doesn't have any kind of fracture or anything like that. Yes, a chiropractor could help. I would probably advise that he wait, I don't know, a few weeks or so to see and use the advice from the doctors, the anti-inflammatories, the ice, try to get over the bruised ego. But if it's persistent with the pain in there, then definitely a chiropractor can help because there may be a joint issue going on in there. But typically with that type of thing, you just want to anti-inflammatory, ice, the usual stuff.
Yeah. Well, speaking of anti-inflammatories and ice, a message here saying it's been 4 weeks. My husband's suffering from a consistent hip/lower back pain. He's done an x-ray, no bone injury. Taking medications such as Celebrex and Brufen, but the pain still hasn't gone away. He's got trouble sleeping, bending his back and severe pain when he coughs. Can you kindly advise a solution? What does this sound like? I'm surprised we haven't. It's been 24 minutes we've been on air and we haven't had any lower back pain until now. What would you say?
Yeah, so that kind of patient is firmly a chiropractic patient. So it's the kind of patient that I see absolutely all the time. So there's two main types of problem that chiropractors see. There's kind of non-specific lower back pain, which is to do with the smaller joints in your lower back, and there's disc herniation patients as well. So we'd have to find out, based on the examination, which one it was, but both of them get helped rather a lot, as in most of the time we can clear it up completely.
There you go. All right, really, really hope that helps.
Healthy Habits.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
But now it is all about your physical health. Delighted to be joined live on the line by Oliver Jones, chiropractor at Nightingale Clinic. Oliver, a really interesting question here from Amanda, saying, I have the start of osteoporosis. Someone told me that if I've got pain, to stay away from chiropractors. Is this correct? Can you bust a few myths or indeed confirm this?
So, generally speaking, osteoporosis is a contraindication to chiropractic care, or rather more specifically to spinal manipulation. However, chiropractors can do other things for patients that have osteoporosis that can help. So you can go to a chiropractor, but they shouldn't be jumping up and down on your spine, so to speak.
Yep.
They shouldn't be being too aggressive. But there are many much more gentle techniques which can help quite a lot with patients with osteoporosis.
A message here, and it's kind of three questions in one, but I think it's a really useful one for clarity. First of all, what's the difference between an osteopath and a chiropractor? Good question. So let's take them one by one. What is the difference between an osteopath and a chiropractor? I know you have considered this question and answered it many times, but for us, indulge us.
Yes, and answer the last time I was on. But it's perfectly fine, I don't mind whatsoever. So the difference between an osteopath and a chiropractor is quite nuanced, really. They are on the surface quite similar, that they both use adjustments, and they both do on the surface quite similar things. But the reasons why they do those things and when they do those things is a bit different. They started at around the same time, but chiropractors, I believe, in the problems to do with the nerves, and that's why we adjust the joints in the spine, whereas the osteopaths, I believe, are more to do with the blood vessels.
Interesting. Okay, all right, interesting. Now, you said adjustments there, and Arjun wants to know, do adjustments and manipulations do any harm?
Generally speaking, no.
If they're done properly, we should clarify.
Yes, exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. If they're done properly by a qualified professional, then generally speaking, absolutely no. Unless you're extremely unlucky.
And the third part of Arjun's question, which I really like, and something I hope you say yes to, saying, if they're not harmful, should everyone do routine adjustments, especially since most people have bad posture and sit at desks for long hours? Could we all benefit from a regular kind of clunk and click and adjustment?
Well, that's a much easier answer. Yes, the vast majority of people could very much benefit from regular chiropractic care because, as I mentioned earlier, it's a preventative as well as a curative method of treatment. So you can prevent a lot of problems turning into bigger problems by with chiropractic care and adjustments. Specifically, that type of patient you mentioned, the office worker hunched over the computer and the laptop. Yeah, it's much easier to treat a patient before it becomes more of a problem.
Couldn't agree more. An interesting point here from Patrick on 4001 saying, why don't health insurance cover what they call alternative medicine if it can avoid a surgery? I had a slipped disc and they would have paid for surgery, but rejected chiropractic care, which then solved my problem. So frustrating, as surgery would have cost five times more. True story. I'm with you. I am with you, as she says, as she's got a mountain of forms to be putting through my own insurance company. Aidan's been in touch saying severe neck pain, shooting down the shoulder. Best exercise to alleviate pain, please. How can we help Aidan out? Is exercise the answer? What can we do to help with that severe neck pain?
I mean, so there is a good exercise, and I can try and describe it over the air. But before I do, if he's got shooting pain going down the arm, then that's a nerve entrapment or a cervical radiculopathy. So it comes out of your neck. Well, the vast majority of the time, it's cervical radiculopathy. So the nerve is being entrapped as it comes out of your neck. So a lot of the time, that can be helped by a chiropractor. So I would recommend that you go to see one. But by all means, we'll try and describe that exercise. So, oh, good grief, this is going to be a bit difficult.
I'm going to try and do it as you describe it. Go on.
All right. So we're going to sit up straight to the neck straight. And then so let's say it's going down the left arm. So the pain's going down the left arm. What we want to do is we want to bring the head up in kind of the arm up, in kind of a flex, you know, like a muscle flex movement. Mm-hmm. So you're bringing your fist up towards where your head is.
I'm showing my guns. Showing off the guns.
Yep.
The gun show.
Showing the guns, okay. Exactly.
Got
yeah.
You.
Mm-hmm. And then what you do is you move your head slightly away from where your fist is. So you're away from the painful arm.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
The left side, that would be. And then what you do is you, at the same time, you're going to move your head to the left so that it's, so you're, your left ear is going towards your left shoulder. And at the same time, you're going to extend your arm out so that it's straight. And you do that nice and slowly and keep on going like that. So you bring your arm back up again towards your head, your fist back towards your head, and then your head away towards the right shoulder.
I think I'm doing it right. I'm glad we're not on Facebook Lives. But I really hope that helps, Aidan. Do not try this if you are driving, and do go and see a chiropractor, please. Yeah. Let's see if we can help out Jess, saying, I developed frozen shoulder and tennis elbow on both arms and elbows ever since, wait for it, homeschooling started last year. This is psychosomatic. This is your body rejecting distance learning. Can this be cured with chiropractic treatment? How long would it take to see an improvement or relief? What needs to be done? What is tennis elbow? Can you explain? I've always heard about it, but don't truly understand what is happening.
Okay, so a couple of different questions there. We'll start with the tennis elbow. So tennis elbow is, technical name is called lateral epicondylitis. It's a repetitive strain, injury. So you can go to a chiropractor for lateral epicondylitis, and it does usually resolve quite quickly. Although I will admit that it is a bit of a sadistic type of infliction of pain for that problem, but it does get better a lot quickly, a lot better than if you were to leave it to itself. That's lateral epicondylitis, and then adhesive capsulitis, otherwise known as frozen shoulder. Sorry, I'm throwing a lot of jargon out here.
That's all right.
frozen shoulder, otherwise known as adhesive capsulitis, is a bit more of an interesting one. When I was at university, although I must admit that I haven't looked very recently, they medicine wasn't quite sure why people turn up with adhesive capsulitis. But you asked the question why, rather, can chiropractic help with that? Yes, it can, but it's more of a self-limiting problem. The patients that I've treated who have had adhesive capsulitis, the frozen shoulder, it's more been to do with helping with the mid-back movement and the shoulder movement, like the joint movement, rather than trying to address the muscles itself. It's more kind of enabling more movement, so it's more dealing with the problem rather than curing it for frozen shoulder.
That makes sense. Yeah. And what about the golden question? How long does it take to see, you know, a difference and get some relief? Because presumably some people come to you and it might just take one session, a quick adjustment, and there's relief. Sometimes, obviously, it's a longer process.
Yes. So for those problems, specifically the lash lip annulitis, the tennis elbow, that can get better in, I don't know, between 2 to 4. It can be as quick as that. The frozen shoulder, as I said, is self-limiting, so it could take quite a long time. It's more about managing the pain and managing the movement and increasing that as much as possible. But if we're talking about normal mechanical lower back pain, mechanical mid-back pain, neck pain, what have you, then it's the standard amount of treatment that you require is about twice a week for about 3 to 4 weeks. And as exactly you said, it can feel a lot better very quickly, but it can also take a lot longer depending on the severity of the problem and what's causing the problem, et cetera, et cetera.
All right. Thank you,
Oliver. But
that's
the typical kind of amount of time.
Healthy Habits.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Oliver Jones, chiropractor at Nightingale Clinic, is with us live on the line. Now, we've had a number of younger people questions. We've got a younger person and an older person question for you this afternoon, mm-hmm. Oliver, before we let you go. Tanya's been in touch saying, my 12-year-old always gets a stiff neck. Thing we can think of, monitoring his sleeping positions, try to remind him to maintain a good posture. Are there some kids who are just more prone to suffering from a stiff neck?
More prone to suffering from a stiff neck? Yes, I suppose so. I think there's a lot of factors at play, and I think they've done the right things so far in monitoring the sleeping position and trying to correct faulty posture and things like that. So in generic terms, yes, there are predisposing things, just how you build, of course. But I'd say that it's probably more to do with the mechanical nature. So at the risk of sounding like I'm plugging chiropractic for everything, I mean, you're more than welcome to go see a chiropractor. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Well, it's interesting. When it comes to age, though, Oliver, is there a lower limit? Is there anyone that would be too young to treat?
Technically, no. And although it does sound, on the face of it, it's a bit of a loaded question, really, because it's not really, without going too far into my history, because we've only got a few minutes left, but in my experience, I've only treated patients about age 6 or 7 or higher. It changes, of course, the treatment that you do changes massively based on the age of the patient. Mm-hmm. This is the take-home from
that. That's useful indeed. Now, going to the other end, friend of the show, David McKenzie. By day, he is an industry insider on recruitment. By 5 a.m., he is Generation Tri, really keen and experienced triathlete. And he says, how do you, as a slightly older person, keep your body supple by more than just stretching in the morning? I'm a triathlete and stretch for 30 minutes every morning. Any advice for anyone who doesn't want to, you know, wants to rage against the dying of the light and keep supple, keep active, keep athletic?
I mean, it sounds like he's already doing it, but swimming is my go-to piece of advice for anyone that's trying to improve their overall health and keep supple, no matter how old they are. Swimming is absolutely fantastic because it's non-weight bearing. So that's my number one go-to.
Here's my question about swimming. And I am a really keen swimmer. Absolutely love it. But if I'm doing like the granny swim, so don't want to get my hair wet, doing a bit of breaststroke, I get a sore neck. So when you talk about swimming, are you talking about doing, you know, front crawl, head down, making sure your spine is aligned and you're fully supported in the water?
So you've actually illustrated a couple of patients that I've had in the last couple of weeks, in fact, that I was trying to find where they were aggravating their problem in their neck from. And it's from specifically exactly what you just described. It's a really bad idea to do breaststroke and then not use goggles. What you want to be doing is using goggles and then getting your forehead into the water and properly doing the stroke. Because as you correctly say, if you're keeping your head out of the water and hyperextending your neck, it can give you neck pain. So I can thoroughly recommend, you can by all means do breaststroke or granny stroke, but make sure that you're doing it properly. And if you, yeah, that you're not hyperextending the neck, because you can give yourself neck pain by doing that. Yeah.
I'm going to squeeze in one last question that's just come in on 4001 saying, hello, fell off my bike last March, knocked off in a head-on collision. Ouch. Had an x-ray. It showed inflammation in my neck muscles, but all was okay. Hand was badly swollen, but no broken bones. Since the accident, I've got limited range in my neck, but more worryingly, I can't feel my baby finger and ring finger. Both are numb. Any suggestions? We've got 30 seconds. What do you say, Oliver? Is this a case for you, or is it back to the doctors?
No, it's a case for me. Yeah.
There you go.
Nerve is impinged in the neck, which is what can give you those kinds of symptoms going down your arm. So, yeah.
There you go. Sorry to hear about your bike accident, but chiropractic, you can find Oliver at Nightingale. Thank you so much for your time. Always really appreciate it.